much about.
Here's something that will give most of the people in this room a headache when they hear it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin is drunk on Monday mornings. Kevin is drunk on Tuesdays too. I wish that the Weatherby could see that Kevin has a very high BAC. Oh, Kevin is drunk.
Louisiana creep outside my window. Louisiana creep behind the tree. I wish that the children could see that they need to stay far away from being in this Louisiana creep outside my window pane.
And now,
I love creeping.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of May. Chip.
Oh, right. Very somber.
Yeah.
What happened, little Chip?
You know, bad things.
I mean, really bad things.
What kind of question is that exactly?
Yeah. Mister, I have two cities but no hockey team.
Six goals, man.
Two empty netters, but still.
But still, though. All right, here's the question I have to ask. We're talking
this
about
this. Every single time Bean rubs it in.
I'm not rubbing it in. No, I'm not rubbing
six
it in.
Six goals.
That's crazy.
No, I'm saying, look, it was a surprise. It's not the game. As tight as the series has been, as tight as the games have been, it's not the blowout anyone expected. But I'm not rubbing it in at all. I feel terrible for Chip. I was absolutely rooting for the Ducks, and I absolutely wanted to see them win the Cup this year. No joke. But I'm trying to get it. The temperature of a fan who has been on this journey to this point now, are you pissed off? Are you grateful for how far they got? Where's your head right now?
Well, they lost Patrick Eves and they lost Ricard Raquel this series. And that's when you lose your two top scorers, that hurts you offensively. And then Gibson was playing great and then lost him to a lower body injury, probably groin.
Mm.
But it's just those are just things that
some
are
tough
hard.
Breaks.
Yeah, and the Predators are an awesome team. And I had, you know what, I had a great time watching the Ducks play in the playoffs. I got to watch one of the greatest playoff comebacks ever.
Yeah, you did.
They beat a game seven. So, you know what, like, it sucks, but you know what, I had a great time. So.
And wouldn't you rather have lost this than the next game?
How do you?
Like a game seven at home. That let's be honest.
No,
I'm glad they lost last night
because a game seven
at home, good Lord, that would have killed them. I'm just saying.
So it sounds like I think Allie's right, by the way. I think it's easier to lose game six than seven. But so it was a net positive for you for the season, and you're in a position where you can at least – it's not like this was the last year they're going to have a shot at it. They've got a lot of great pieces in play, and you feel good about next year already.
Yeah, they have a lot of great young players that came up over the postseason too. So they're in good position for next year, I think.
You're forgetting that Chip is a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, this is nothing.
Yeah.
She's good. Nothing.
Yeah, just being in the playoffs is a win for you, right?
Exactly.
You're just not used to that.
Just winning a game.
All right. I'm sure the hockey gods are just praying for that dynamic Nashville-Ottawa Stanley Cup final if that happens, right? Speaking of sports, let me bring one more thing to your attention. And Kevin, you're going to love this so much because, you know, speaking of dynamic, there's nothing more exciting than a baseball game.
Dear Lord.
Just the split second, moment by moment, just red hot action. And I saw this on Deadspin this morning. Maybe you saw this already, Allie. But this is a clip of the Chicago White Sox, Steve Stone, in the booth with Hawk Harrelson. He's the road play-by-play guy. And Steve Stone is the color guy. So he's on the road. And I'm not sure exactly what the point is that Hawk Harrelson is trying to make here.
Aren't we past calling him the color guy?
Color guy. No, he's a white dude.
What?
So I'm not sure what his point is, but he's talking about there being too much information in the game. And I don't know if they just mean, because baseball breaks things down and they slice it thin, man, in a million different ways. They've got all these stats and things you're supposed to know and keep in mind. And as a player, I think what he's suggesting is sometimes there's just too much on the player's minds. They just need to go out there and have fun. Let's see how that came out.
A great deal of information, and then turn it around and apply it. Other guys, it confuses them.
There's no question.
these guys, and especially, I want to tell you, especially Latin players.
I got a little nervous right there.
Oh,
when
dear.
He,
whoa, oh,
brings,
no.
brings up the Latin players. Let's see where he's going.
They play a different game of baseball down in the islands than we play here in the United States as youngsters.
Well, they pretty much swing it. If it stays in the park, you're swinging, that's and it. Then you're running, and that's pretty much it.
And they have a tremendous amount of fun playing down there.
Okay, what is he saying?
Where are we going?
He's saying that they swing at a bunch of pitches?
It's not so much fundamentals. It's just get out there, have fun, swing at anything. If it's over your head, just run.
Yeah, I guess that's what he's saying. And there's a lot more rules on them than
so
what they're supposed
to. So it's junior high baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying there's just a lot more rules when you step up to the plate in the major leagues about which pitches you're supposed to take and where you're supposed to hit it and
okay.
things like that based on the situation. It's like too much information, he's saying. But he goes on.
There are a lot of guys who are good players here in the United States that don't have that much fun because of all the information they're getting. Fastback. Well, you know, I'm a big proponent of a person. And in our history, some of our greatest leaders have done this.
Okay, hold on. He's a big proponent of a person, first of all.
What's happening?
Now he's talking about our great leaders have done this. What? Not had a lot of information or been able to lead while having fun? I'm not sure.
A lot of them have not, but some have. They've retained their childlike qualities.
Well, and that's what... have some fun in this game.
Well, it's... Clampy said it the other day, and it's a good way to put it, too.
Okay. What? It's a good way to put it. What is it?
All right.
Hey, something happened.
And he drops the ball. That's where it'll be an error on the slow.
Unfortunately, I don't think he ever gets back to finishing what the good way to put it was. That's where the clip ends, yes.
So, I think essentially what he was saying is baseball in America isn't fun, right?
I hope that's what I got.
Exactly what he was saying.
I know that I listened to it three times this morning. I still don't have a clue what he's saying.
Wow.
So that's some good announcing. But, Kevin, you got to sign off on being too careful not to have too much information, right?
Here's my whole thing. Mm-hmm. If you have that kind of time to have that conversation in the middle of a sport while it's going on, that's a bad sport.
Too much information.
There was time to discuss. That guy could have gone on for another month and no one would have cared.
Dude, aren't there many minutes in soccer where there's not that much happening besides just
hours?
No,
there's hours in soccer when nothing's happening.
No, you can hate it, but there's stuff happening all the time. They don't stop.
If you call running happening, I guess that's happening.
They don't do that in baseball. They sit.
But they're scratching stuff. And
I see. That's action. They sit, and then they go out there, and then they warm up again. Then they sit, then they warm up again. I'm just saying at least there's people doing something.
What I'm saying is I have no idea what the F this announcer was talking about.
Not me either.
That's what I'm saying. But.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
First of all, I'm very disappointed in your attitude.
I don't have a bad attitude yet.
Oh, you got a little defensive over soccer.
Well, Mr. Bad Example is a thing we do.
How dare
you, sir?
Oh, you beat me.
Mr. Bad Example, that's Bean. Don't know why. Every single time he tries to come up with an example, it's just a fail.
It's old-timey.
Sometimes it's old-timey. Yeah. Sometimes you have no idea what he's talking about. Sometimes it's the opposite of what he really means. It's sweet. It's pretty sweet.
First of all, unfair. Second of all, you don't know, man, because it's like when you get on a ferry and you're trying to get to the other side of the mountain, but it's too cold for the eagle.
It's true. It's very similar.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Trevor Noah, who's going to be here, the host of The Daily Show. Very excited about that. We have tickets for Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman! What, I'm not allowed to play?
Oh, no, you play.
Okay.
You play, that was strong. The King of Mexico, we found out yesterday, can't shave at home.
Can't shave at home.
We found out yesterday. We found it out, I think, last week.
Yeah.
Can't shave at home.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowed to shave at home.
Okay.
So when he was going to the hotel for the weenie roast, he said, oh, I'm so excited because now I can shave because he's in a hotel room. What? Right?
It's so good.
It's insane. And Petros joins us today as well with Ralph Garman and the Bachelorette Report. It's the first one of the year. We've got that coming up today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Where were you?
I was down the hall.
What were you doing?
Talking.
Why weren't you in here?
Hanging.
Why weren't you
hanging and begging? You know, like I do.
I don't think you were banging.
Chip said 10, like 10 seconds. He went, oh.
Who knew?
I was talking. He's a busy man, Ralph.
I was talking to Omar.
He's got a lot of plates in the air.
Right. Like I have a lot of plates in the air.
Do you have plates in the air?
Never.
Yes. No, you do. No. When you're spinning plates, you have plates in the air.
You have balls in the air.
I think you have plates. Oh, maybe you have balls. it could be balls.
It is balls. Yeah. Juggling reference.
Well, what's the plates then? Are you spinning plates,
you're spinning
right?
A lot of plates. You spin a lot of plates.
But aren't they in the air?
No, they're on poles.
Ah.
Plates are on sticks.
Right.
Little sticks, and you put them on the top, and then you spin them on the sticks.
Hey, Kevin, is it too late
to... Hey, Bean?
Yeah.
You put them on sticks.
No, I hear you.
Them.
No, I hear you. I got you. I'm asking Kevin if it's too late to add that to the Mr. Bad Example file.
We have enough, but we'll sort another one. Don't worry about it.
Start the next session with that one.
No worries.
Disneyland resort tickets on the show today and Wonder Woman passes as well. Plus, Rob's giving away free money on the show, too.
Right?
That's all coming up. First, though, time for the showbiz being here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sucks to have to report this story, but we need to talk about this piece of garbage in Manchester, England, last night, who killed 22 people. 59 others were injured in explosions outside the Manchester Arena in England at the end of an Ariana Grande concert. Police were saying two explosions took place around 10:35 p.m. just as people were leaving her concert outside Manchester Arena. Predominantly young girls attending this concert, and there's no total yet on the demographics of who was killed and injured, but predominantly they say it was young girls, teenage girls. And as you can imagine, the city is in shock. The country is in a heightened state of security and panic. And also, you know, you don't think about this, but the toll it takes on the performer. Apparently, Ariana Grande herself is in hysterics, and she's supposed to perform at the London O2 on Thursday.
Mm.
But that may be canceled, not only for safety reasons, but people close to her say she's in no condition to perform. She tweeted last night, "Broken. From the bottom of my heart, I'm so sorry. I don't have words." So, just tragic on every possible level. The attacker apparently was a single male who died at the scene. It was a suicide bomb. But shrapnel everywhere. They say a lot of nuts and bolts were strewn. It was a homemade bomb, and they used that as shrapnel. And a lot of people still recovering from their injuries, as well as the 22 deaths. So.
Well, it's double-sided agony, because one is you can't get your head in the mindset of somebody who would do something like this. It's impossible to understand.
Yeah.
That level of hatred. And the other thing is you start thinking about, it's impossible to prevent as well.
Yeah. If they're going to be a suicide bomber and they just go to any location where there's a large group of people, there's nothing literally you can do about
nothing, right? I mean, it's not like this guy went through security to get into the arena.
No, he just waited outside until the concert let out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, literally we all go places every day where there are people, and it's a possibility, and you try not to obsess over that, because obviously the likelihood is that it'll never be you, but this night it was them.
Yep.
And it's so heartbreaking.
Let's talk about happier times. Like when Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson is going to be our president, right?
Right? Can't wait.
It was sort of a joke this weekend on Saturday Night Live when he announced his presidency along with his running mate Tom Hanks. Johnson Hanks 2020. But the public policy polling company decided to take it upon themselves to look into the prospects if he were to run for president, what the result of the polling would be.
It's not a little too early to poll for 2020. A lot can't happen between now and then.
Somebody said, I wonder what if. And 36% of all voters see Johnson favorably, with 13% having a negative view of him. 13% of voters don't like The Rock? What the hell?
Wait till Baywatch comes out. That'll change that.
Oh, the Scorpion King that they didn't enjoy? What did it ever do to you? Moana's awesome. 50% of the voters have no opinion about him either way. That'll change.
Sure.
However, both Democrats, the ones familiar with him, and Republicans, see him positively.
Johnson, if the vote, if the election were held today, Johnson would lead Trump by 5 points, they say, in the polls.
All right.
So, Johnson Hanks, 2020.
I'm going to ask you guys this question, and maybe it's dumb, but in general, do you think it's a good idea for us to elect people who are just private citizens?
Nope.
People who do not have government experience or military experience?
Nope.
Allie's a nope, it sounds like.
I'm a hard no.
Yeah.
Let's stop joking about it.
I'm a nope, but there are probably exceptions. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, yeah, it's probably a bad idea.
I think if people with no experience want to work in government, that's a great thing. But I think they should start working at the grassroots level and work their way up through their local city, state governments before we put them in positions of power in a national arena.
Barack Obama was a senator, but very briefly. It's not like he had a lot of government experience.
But he worked in the city of Chicago for a long time before he became a senator. He was in public service.
Right.
There was a track record there.
He knew something, right?
Yeah.
So rock, you guys.
Right?
Another President Johnson.
That's
wow. What?
Being excited by the idea of another President Johnson.
Well, yeah. we've never had a surname with three men in office. I'm just excited by that.
I mean, we all are. Don't get us wrong.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Drew Carey's 59 years old today. Actress Melissa McBride is 52.
I love her.
Okay. Let me get that
down. Yeah, if you could jot that down. Yeah.
McBride, 52.
Really, really enjoy her work.
Loves her.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Carol on The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Is that who Melissa McBride is?
Yes.
Yes.
I like her too.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
I want that on a t-shirt because I feel that way.
H. John Benjamin, very funny actor, is 51 years old today. I love him.
He's Archer, right?
He is Archer, as well as many other voices. And Jewel. Singer Jewel.
I think it's just Jewel.
Jewel. Of the House of L.
Nope.
Her brother Cal.
No.
Kara.
No, no.
From the L's she was sent to us.
No.
As a child.
Nothing to do with
Superman.
Before
her planet destroyed.
Just Jewel. Just Jewel.
Is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a very exciting Tuesday because today is the first Bachelorette report for the new season.
Uh-huh.
Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis coming up later on this morning. That'll be around 7:15 or so right here on the Kevin
Show. Oh, you don't want to miss it, by the way. You do not want to miss it because last night we met the worst person in the world. That's all you need to know.
Wow, ooh. Because I saw about only 8 minutes of it, and I saw four of the worst people in the world. So I'm not even sure mine is the one that you're
You must not have
to.
Seen him if you don't know. If he didn't jump out at you as the worst person in the world.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited. That is coming up. Also, Trevor Noah from The Daily Show as well. Look, we don't really have time for this feature, though, right?
Oh, we got so much time.
Yeah, we have... He's Mr. Bad Example. Bean really does try to reset things and make it clear so that everybody understands and has access to it. Okay. And yet, every example that he picks somehow is terrible.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Look,
first of all, he assumes that people don't understand the most simple of concepts.
Right.
He feels obligated to try to explain the obvious. And then when he does so, it's a tremendous fail.
Look, may I say this in my defense? You guys are right. But secondly...
That's not really in your defense then, is
but,
it?
Look, I'm terrible at it, but...
Then stop trying.
But I am going to say this, and I know that I say this for... Would you like to take that back as well? There's no scripts here, guys.
Right.
We're winging it. And sometimes, and Kevin, you should appreciate this more than any, sometimes you reach for a word or an expression or a phrase, it's just not there or just didn't come out right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what seems to happen to me on a regular basis.
Well, don't reach. Don't reach for that phrase then. Just deal with the phrases that are on your lap.
Well, what kind of bad examples are we talking about?
The first one, Ralph is doing showbiz about an award for best comedy series, Orange is the New Black, and here's Bean.
And for best ensemble cast in a comedy series, Orange is the New Black, they won because who's funnier?
Oh my
really,
God.
Than
that kills me.
Oh. It's like just
I have to take
one
a break.
Belly laugh after another on that
It's like
show.
The Three Stooges are back is what it's like.
No, it really is.
That was your example?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
That makes no sense.
We're talking about wacky comedies. Which Orange is the New Black is
not.
Is
it like the Three Stooges are back?
Right? I was trying to make a...
Do they do physical comedy?
I was trying to make a joke
on
how unlike they were that. That
was the Three Stooges?
Please, we need it.
Mr. Bad Impressions.
But you had to go back to 1933 to find some comedy to reference?
It wasn't the best example I could pull. No.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
All right, here he's talking about hyper-realistic dreams.
But apparently they can feel very, very real, and they only seem to ever happen when people are in bed, when they are kind of in that drifting in and out state. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a place where they are comfortable thinking about those things. It doesn't happen, in other words, while you're driving down the street or, you know, raking the leaves or something like that.
Right.
So
raking the leaves.
That's the thing. That's
right?
You're raking the leaves.
And then a succubus just comes down. You're like, ooh, let's do it.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Raking the leaves.
What should I have said there?
Something people do.
Nobody rakes
on a regular basis.
All right, we had
live in Massachusetts.
We had a contest where you could pick any band at Coachella and see them anywhere in the world. And this is Bean's example. The band is not playing Coachella, and so as far as we know, they're not playing where he's saying either.
So you want to see? Hey, I love the Killers, and I've always wanted to go to Finland. You two and two together, you go boom. That's it. I'm going to see the Killers in Finland. I mean, that's how it works.
Wait, I thought it was just people playing Coachella. Yeah.
It is, or whoever. I'm just saying, Killers are not a good example. Finland's not a good example either. But my point is, you find someone on that Coachella bill.
An example of one of the 4,000
Radiohead
bands
in
playing
Bali.
Coachella.
How about Radiohead in Bali? Like I heard the lady say that one time. All right, maybe a better example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
For Coachella.
And that's how that works. It's the exact opposite of what he just said.
In case you didn't understand, you can pick a band and go to any country.
Who could understand that, Allie? We need an example or else we can't wrap our head around that concept.
We were talking about a guy's brain fluid leaking out over the course of 10 years.
Can you just imagine waking up every day with just a soaking wet pillow of fluid from your brain? And this went on for him for 10 years he lived with this.
And by the way, grab something bigger than a cotton ball at some point.
Yeah, just start wearing a turban or something. Whatever you got to do, right?
Yes. Start wearing a turban.
Wearing a turban.
I'm just saying something.
Yes, no, that's good.
You can't walk around with a towel on your head throughout your day. You put a turban on, though. That's a thing that people wear, and it might also soak up all the leaves.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Those super absorbent turbans.
I am standing by that.
You're standing by that.
Go to live a simpler life. Just wear a soaking wet turban around your head.
All right. Talking about the Bachelorette.
Oh, come on. We got to be out by now.
Please.
We have like four more. Talking about the Bachelorette.
And she's a lawyer,
She
correct?
Is an attorney, yes.
Okay.
And there's several attorneys on the show this year.
I wonder
including
if
attorney
won.
Jack Stone.
Well, that's
he'll fight
you
for you.
I wonder if
I'm
she
hard on crime.
Oh, okay.
And harder on Rachel.
Oh.
So in other words, Allie, you're wondering, would she not...
Does she want to go home to something she just left at work?
Right.
Oh, so
or would she want
negative.
Somebody
or
to mix it
someone
up?
Someone totally different.
Like a cowboy or something.
Like a cowboy. Yes.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Like a cowboy.
She'd like to go in the open range. Fixing fences.
All right. Well, then you guys.
How many cowboys do you know?
Then you guys tell me what would be an example of an occupation that's more the opposite of an attorney,
a bartender,
than a cowboy.
All right, maybe gas station attendant.
Bartender would have been good too, I guess.
All right, we were talking
personal
about
trainer.
We were talking about things that you're excited about that no one else is.
All
so
right.
The topic is you're really excited about something and no one else cares.
It does happen a lot. I mean, I see the world's cleanest rest stop and I'm excited, you know, but I can't get anyone on board. But I will tell you.
What? What? The worst example ever.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is that a thing?
The world's cleanest rest stop.
And he's excited. That's his example. Fair. And by the way, he's not excited.
And how would you even know which one was the cleanest?
Right?
Do they keep track of such things?
Yes, there's an app.
And finally, the inspirational story of the 101-year-old that was skydiving. We also have a 101-year-old skydiving man.
Love him.
I love him, too, but I was thinking about this last night. How hard is it to skydive?
It's
basically
not.
Somebody's just... Either you're jumping out of a plane or somebody's pushing you. I'm saying he didn't climb Everest.
Right.
He's 101. one. He's jumping out of a plane.
But you know what he's not doing is sitting in a wheelchair with a, you know, with a blanket wrapped around him watching Mannix.
That's very true. Why Mannix, though? Why was that the goal?
I don't know. It hasn't been on in 40
I don't even know what Mannix is. What is Mannix?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look, there have been...
What year was that on, Bean?
I don't know, Ralph. Early 70s?
You think? Yeah, mid-70s, 75, 76, yeah.
Really?
How many TV shows you think there have been that I could have chosen?
Oh,
a million?
Thousands?
Yeah.
And tens of thousands?
And you went with Mannix.
I don't know why.
You said the Three Stooges would have been a better reference.
I'll tell you why.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
How can 652?
Disneyland Resort tickets on the program today on our first look at last night's return of The Bachelorette. Coming up with Ralph and P in minutes. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Hello.
Sad news. We have lost a legend, Sir Roger Moore, who, of course, famously played James Bond over a 10-year-plus run, has passed away at the age of 89. Died in Switzerland after a short battle with cancer. According to his kids, besides being James Bond, of course, and the Saint on television and many, many other film and television roles, he also did an enormous amount of great charity work for UNICEF, which he considered to be his greatest achievement, and did a lot of work for charities all over the UK and abroad. He passed away in Switzerland, and is going to have a private funeral in Monaco, where he'll be laid to rest. So, sad news. We've lost the first James Bond.
Yeah.
He wasn't the first James Bond, but he's the first James Bond to pass away. So,
He stayed sharp right to the end, it seems like. I feel like it hasn't been that long since we've seen him on, you know, TVs and chat shows and whatnot. He seemed like he was doing well.
Yeah, he was always out and about, but apparently was stricken with cancer not too long ago, and it was a quick aggressive cancer. Yeah,
I loved him on Alias. Alias, the TV show.
Yes, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I don't remember him on
TV
that
show. I don't either.
He was terrific.
It's not what jumps to mind when I think of him. But sad news, boy. UK's getting it left and right between that and this horrible explosion last night in Manchester outside the Manchester Arena in England, Ariana Grande concert. As it was letting out at 10:35 p.m. last night, two explosions took place. A suicide bomber caused the death of 22 innocent people, and 59 more were wounded. So, horrible news. Horrible news coming out of the UK. Let's talk about something a little lighter, shall we? Did you like the Angry Birds movie? Good, because there's another one coming. That's right, you heard me. The sequel to last year's film has been announced. It'll be in theaters mid-September of 2019.
All right. Let me
so get your calendars out. Circle in the middle of September of 2019 for the next Angry Birds
Ralph,
movie.
You said 2019.
You heard me.
Is that what you meant?
2019.
So not next year.
Huh. Well, no. 2019. Because that'll be the 10th anniversary of Angry Birds.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Can't wait.
No. Yeah. The original cast will be back. Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, who we love. Bill Hader, Maya Rudolph, Peter Dinklage, Sean Penn, Keegan-Michael Key, Kate McKinnon will all be back for the sequel. So,
do we need it?
No.
Look.
Do we need anything? Really?
I'm listening to that list of tremendous actors accepting Josh Gad, and I'm thinking they could all spend their time doing something that we would want to see.
Did you see Angry Birds?
No. Of course not.
And shut up.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Well, that's why I was asking if we needed this other kids' movie. It was pretty good. It's pretty entertaining.
All right.
Look, animated film's got a grumpy Sean Penn in it. It's pretty funny.
You're going to see the Emoji Movie, Ralph?
No.
But Patrick Stewart.
Yeah?
Still no. All right.
Still T.J. Miller, though, right? He's still in it? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
What if your daughter really wants to see it, though?
That's what mommy's for. You know they're making an Indian Rambo? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Not the Native American Indians, but the other Indians. The Bollywood Indians.
Yeah.
They're making a Rambo remake.
Dots, not feathers.
Do people say that?
No.
Yes. Well, people racist say people say it.
That's
many
not a
years
racist
ago.
Thing. That's just been descriptive. When the word Indian, you think of two specific people that give that points you in the right direction. Which kind of Indian person we're talking about?
It sounds racist.
All right.
Yeah, dots not feathers is no longer a thing people say.
Really?
No.
Get off the island once in a while.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Right? Tell him, Rambo. Yeah, they are making an Indian version, and there was some concern that there might be some singing and dancing that's often associated with Bollywood films.
All right.
Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding.
I'm in.
And Rambo just dancing his way through a war field.
I'm so in.
But, like, Kevin, you'll be sad to know there is no dancing and singing.
Come on.
In this version. I wouldn't do that to Rambo, said the director, Sid Anand. That's like blasphemy. He said he was also encouraged by a message that Sylvester Stallone posted on his social media last week, saying that Rambo was a great character. He doesn't blame them for making their own version, but adding, "Hope they don't wreck it," he said. Shooting on the film, which will be in theaters next year, will start in the Himalayas at the end of this year. So good luck to everyone involved. The guy they picked to play Rambo, by the way, looks a lot like Stallone.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, looks like a young Stallone. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Melissa McBride is 52. Do you know who she is, Allie?
She is not Melissa McCarthy.
No, she is not.
But she's still real great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last hour, Allie was overjoyed with her love for Melissa McBride until she realized it was not Melissa McCarthy.
Still lovely.
Yeah.
Although for fans of The Walking Dead.
Right?
Oh, great.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Same.
52 years old today. Drew Carey's 59. Actor H. John Benjamin celebrates his 51st birthday. Singer Jewel is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock.
Whoa.
K-R-Q. Kevin and Bean Show.
Is it sad times?
What's going on, Kevin?
Sad times. Dave the King of Mexico can't shave at home, you guys. He literally can't shave at home.
You mean he doesn't know how to shave?
He is not allowed.
Oh.
To shave at home.
That's
so just before the weenie roast, he said, "I'm really looking forward to going to the hotel so I can trim my beard."
It was a little thick.
It was very shaggy last week.
Yeah, it was a little
looking
thick,
rough.
Now I feel good.
Right.
I mean,
he had a homeless guy vibe going on that beard for a while.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a little nappy.
Why? How come you have to get a hotel room to shave?
I don't have to get a hotel room to shave, but, you know, every time I take the opportunity to shave at a hotel room so I don't mess up my bathroom and be all dirty and hair everywhere.
What kind of crazy shaving are you doing?
Right. Listen.
Hold on. We are talking about faces here, right?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Hey, that's a good question. That's a valid question.
Make sure I understand here. Yeah. Have you thought of cleaning up?
Yeah. Listen.
Do you not have any water in your sink you can use to wash down whatever little piece of hair may fall down?
No. Here's the deal, right?
All right.
So.
Why can't you shave, Dave?
My girlfriend doesn't like to have hair everywhere, right? And listen, you guys don't know this because you don't have beards.
Right.
You guys can't grow it, so you don't understand this.
Okay.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Strangely insulting, but go ahead. Allie feels you.
Right. I get it, Dave.
When you shave, it goes everywhere. Not just, you know,
right.
I use clippers. I don't use like a razor.
Okay.
So it goes everywhere. It just doesn't fall into the sink. The sink, the easiest part and around the sink.
Right.
But it goes all over your body. It goes...
Does it go all over the house?
It falls all over the floor.
Within a 3-foot radius, I would think.
Yeah, but also check this out. So, you know, like when I shave, I don't wear a shirt because I don't want it all over my shirt.
I don't need any of these visuals.
So, yeah, you like that?
Yeah. That's a pretty picture.
Yeah.
Things are changing quickly.
So, like, you know, usually I do it before a shower if I do it at home. And hair goes everywhere, man. Like,
what? Are you a savage?
What? No, it's just it's hair, dude. It's a little hair polyp.
Right. So you just do you have a broom?
Yes.
What about a dustpan and brush?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying is you find
any
hair
of those.
Listen, even if before you shave, like, beard hair goes everywhere, like even on a pillow and stuff like that. So, honestly, it goes everywhere.
Beards are hard,
right? But it's a lot of upkeep. Yeah, so my girlfriend
tiny little jetpacks that just shoot everywhere all over his house.
My girlfriend doesn't like when I leave hair everywhere, and I'm very respectful, so I was just like, look, I could wait until we go to a hotel.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You're lucky to have your girlfriend.
Amen. So how often?
Or when she goes out of town.
How often are you checking into hotels to shave?
That's my point. Yeah. Once a week.
No.
And where are you allowed to poop?
Every couple of months, you know.
It's a good question, B.
I'm not getting a hotel just to shave. That's dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
No, but I'm saying yeah, is like, we're the there's crazy opportunities
ones.
Of...
We're the crazy ones for suggesting that.
No, so, I'm just saying.
So, Dave, did this escalate? Was it, hey, did it start with...
No,
hey,
it was a simple question.
If you could do a little, if you could try a little harder to brush up the hair, I'd appreciate it. And then the next time you shave, she goes, you know, you're really not doing a good job and I'm really... And then at some point, did she just like put her foot down and say, that's it, no more shaving at home?
No, but she just asked like, hey, would you mind not shaving at home? And I said, sure. It's not that
well,
big of a deal.
I mean, at that... By that
not
point,
that big of a deal.
I mean, you but live
on,
there,
let's back
though.
Up. It's, yeah, it's kind not, of it's is. Not that big of a deal.
Let's back up just
but
a little
bit. But it's your house sure. where you live.
Let's back
well,
up
and
just
And that's fine when not shaving there. It's,
right,
it's,
but let's just back up before not shaving there.
Yes.
Clean up? You tried and failed?
Yeah, no. It, and clean failed? Up fine.
Well,
I
clearly
fine.
Not because then what follows is don't shave at home.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, you know, even when I'm jumping in the shower, it clogs up the you know, it when I'm taking a shower, it clogs up the... The
drains,
yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I paused because I thought there's no way the word drain is the word you can't come up with. Hey, I've been there, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's annoying. It really is. And it's kind of gross to clean up the drain and stuff like that. So I'd rather just not clog up my drain, you know?
Okay, but you don't have to shave in the shower.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, when I shave, there's a lot of hair, you know.
How much?
Well... you know, like, what's you saw happening? The beard, so, and you see the difference how I trim it. You know, I trim it with a 3, so.
Sure.
It's a nice, even
it's
trim.
It's like crazy. You don't go 2 or 4,
no.
Right?
Yeah, no. Two is a little too short.
Right.
And 4 doesn't really do much.
Mm-mm.
So, I just don't want to clog up my drain. So, you know, I just wait till, you know, I go to a hotel.
All right.
Yeah, someone else.
Kevin, you have a suggestion for Dave?
I do, yes.
Loosen the cord lock and pull the contents out of the pouch. Then attach the neck straps. Stick the suction cups to the mirror, then move the levers down. Next, begin your normal grooming regimen.
All right, now I want to talk to Jennifer real quick because she, I think, is talking about the same product.
She is.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, so there's this apron that men can wear, and at the very bottom of the apron, there's two little suction cups, and you just put the suction cups onto the mirror, and boom, all the hair drops into the apron. You don't have to worry about clogging up your sink.
Hold, please, Jennifer.
If you need to stop and step away during grooming, hang the neck straps to the lever hooks. Once completed, flip the suction cup levers up and remove.
It seems like a lot of work, I got to be honest.
Just a shame. Jennifer, have you seen this in person or know anyone who's ever used it?
I have known somebody who has used it, and it was actually a Pinterest project.
Well, yeah, this is actually the beard bid from, it was on Shark Tank.
Oh. I'm talking to K-Rap, baby.
Oh.
Why? That's a good question.
Right? It's a questionable choice.
Yeah.
It's terrible when you have to explain Kevin B to your kids. I hate that. I'm sorry for that, Jennifer, but thank you for calling. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, so this is the beard bid.
Beard bib,
yeah. And it
no,
was
no,
a
say
Shark
it again,
Tank.
Dave. Beard bib.
Beard bib.
Okay. There you go.
And it was on Shark Tank,
right?
And it didn't get funded. So I don't have very much faith in this product.
Okay.
So
okay.
I will not
do you have a
use
towel?
That product.
Or do you have any type of...
Again, even if you have a
saran
towel...
wrap?
Listen, watch. I want you to shave the side of your head and then see where it goes.
It'll fall basically within a 3-foot radius, and then
but
I grab
will
a,
it. But
yes,
will it?
Yeah, and then I grab a broom, and you can clean it up in about 9 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think so, man. I don't think you've shaved before, have you?
You don't think I've shaved
ever?
Before.
Like right ever?
Now. I don't even know how to answer that.
I'm going to let
the king of Mexico is bullshit.
What's that mean?
Let Kevin Bean listener Nina, I think she has the best suggestion. Okay. This will be the final word on it. Tell Dave to start shaving at the gym. That way he can also pretend he worked out.
Great.
This time tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, William Shatner will be here. Kevin, bring your checkbook.
That's right.
Got the Hollywood Charity Horse Show coming
time
up.
Time for the horses.
Also talk to Andy Cohen from Watch What Happens Live on the program tomorrow. Jim Rome later in the week. Chris Hardwick. No Chris Rock at all, but Chris Hardwick will be on the program. Dr. Drew and more. It's all coming up. First, though, we've been looking for this a long time.
What?
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? We've been looking forward to this for a long time. The return of the Bachelorette. Am I right, Ralph?
Yes. Me long time look forward this much.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman and he claims to be a man. With Petra's Papa thinking, so he's holding hands. Kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching The Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows. But you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Woohoo!
Let's bring on our friend, the great Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, P.
What's poppin'? Shouldn't we have like a more urban vibe with the intro song?
You think that's a little too beachy, perhaps?
I mean, yeah, it's a little too gidget. I mean, we got to get downtown.
You want to whip one up?
Light up a Newport, you know?
We do need like a slow jam.
Rachel, you got my heart, baby.
You know, girl, when I saw that guy walk in dressed as a penguin.
Yeah. Let's do a little recap of last night's show, and then we'll play some audio for the folks. But first of all, let's deal with Rachel. She is the Bachelorette. I think she perhaps is the most beautiful, well, self-possessed Bachelorette we've had in a long, long time, P.
I have to agree. Bean reminded me in a very ominous way to come into this with a positive attitude.
Right. He did threaten you, yes.
And I do have to say, I tried, and it took like three glasses of Canadian Club.
Mm-hmm.
But she did handle herself with relative grace and beauty. But there has to be something inherently wrong with her for wanting to do this. But other than that, I really thought she did a great job.
If anything, I think she is too kind and too forgiving to a lot of these men who showed up last night.
Well, she knows they're all idiots, and the dust settles, and sometimes the biggest idiots on the first night turn out to be kind of level-headed people. So it plays itself out. You know, the first night is such a bad deal because you see in the morning, like, the sun is all the way up.
I mean,
they keep these people up all night drinking. We all make idiots of ourselves. You guys just had Weenie Rose.
Yeah. But some people come out of the gate being an idiot.
No doubt.
And I think, like, the example you used of the guy in the penguin outfit just looked like a fool.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I picked attorney Jack Stone as my guy to go all the way.
I would like you to deliver properly when you say his name, please.
Attorney Jack Stone?
Yeah.
Attorney Jack Stone.
There you go.
He'll fight for you.
Right. There you go.
He did not impress me last night. Here's the thing. You go into this blind and you think you're going to get one thing, and in reality, you get something completely different.
Yeah.
At least you didn't pick the tickle monster.
Oh, the tickle monster.
The tickle monster was... I had to take a shower after that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for Mohit, too. Mohit is the Bollywood dancer who just got hammered and was stumbling around the cocktail party for the better part of the night.
Why do you feel bad for him if he gets hammered on the first night?
Because, like he says, I think it is a matter of...
That's drinking 101.
I think it's a matter of nerves and an attempt to try to make an impression and feel the pressure is on. And a lot of guys self-medicate with Canadian Club in those situations, like my boy P.
You know, your father didn't lose his virginity to your mother. And that night, he drank Canadian Club.
I don't know what's being said now.
Hell?
That was the greatest magazine commercial I ever saw. It was for Canadian Club. But it was a rough night, there's no doubt. And it wasn't really that exciting. I mean, nobody jumped in the pool. Nobody got in a fist fight.
How many guys are there?
31. And 31 that's the started. Other issue. There's too many dudes.
31! I mean,
but she did jettison 8 of them last night, including Drunken Mohit. He got sent home.
Then why wreck everybody's night on the first night by bringing 31? I mean, nobody can connect. It becomes like this male pack of dog roving wolf ceremony. It's creepy. It's terrible. They've got to do something different about the first night. The first night is becoming, I mean, people send me texts. They always say, oh, this jumped the shark, this and that. I mean, it jumped the shark 10 years ago. But we have to do something about the first night.
Well, some people are able to stand out. P, I got to tell you, like Brian, he got the first impression rose and just totally made out with her.
The Colombian tongue monster.
He's not the Colombian tongue monster.
Yeah, the Cartagena tongue.
He's a handsome chiropractor who's got great hands and great moves.
Ugh.
And I think he's going for the long haul.
Their kiss didn't gross you out, Ralph?
Not at all. She was digging it, man.
They were licking each other's lips like they were at the Creamistry. It was gross.
He took the initiative, and she was bowled over by his masculinity.
I don't blame these people for losing themselves on the first night. It's a rough ticket.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a quick little break, and we'll come back with some clips, and we'll show you. We talked about the good stuff. We'll play for you the worst that got out of the limo last night on The Bachelor.
Which was most of it, right?
Yes, all exactly.
Right. We'll be right back. All right, just before we get to Rise Against, who do we need to meet?
You got to meet the worst person in the world. You got to meet Lucas.
Okay.
Lucas is evil incarnate.
The worst person in the world. You've watched a lot of these shows.
He is the worst contestant I've ever seen.
Is that right?
And you can sum it all up in one word. Waboom.
I'm Lucas, and I'm from Woodside, California.
The word waboom grew from the word boom, but it has a lot more energy behind it.
Waboom! Waboom! Waboom!
Not only have I been called a good catch,
waboom!
I'm charismatic, affable.
Rachel, you are the queen of the world.
You come in with your own catchphrase. You get the murder button.
Wow. Back in the desert?
Oh, easily.
Wow.
We'll talk more about Lucas
right
after this song.
We'll do that right after this.
Wahoo!
Last night was the 10-hour debut of The Bachelorette.
2 hours, relax.
2 hours is what I meant.
We needed every minute of it to meet the 31 guys that Rachel had to sift through to find love.
We've got Ralph Garman here, of course, in studio. Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show, AM 570, on the phone doing the Bachelorette Report. So there's no fatigue on the franchise at all, you guys, because I feel like it's only been a couple of months since The Bachelor said goodbye.
Yeah, but this is different. This is a group of a bunch of idiot guys as opposed to a bunch of idiot girls.
Oh, okay.
That is different.
Okay.
It makes it a totally different dynamic in the house, and you don't get to ogle at the smorgasbord of women and their shapes.
Yeah.
It's time for the other side to ogle at the smorgasbord of washboard abs and man-sculpted facial hair.
Yeah, right. And the same haircut. Everybody's got the same haircut.
They all do, huh?
So it's hard to break out. It's hard to make it an appearance that will be memorable for Rachel. So a lot of guys have gimmicks, a lot of shtick. We just played for you. Waboom!
The guy that came Lucas. Up with
he also had a megaphone when he came out of the.
Oh, you didn't like the megaphone?
No.
What about when he was down on one knee calling the play-by-play on the drunk guy? That was pretty good.
No, it wasn't. It was awful. And Blake E, who showed up drumming with a marching band, didn't need him.
Oh man!
Will really cheesed me off. Here's Will's entrance. As you can tell, he's doing a very timely impression as he steps out of the limo.
Did I do that? Did I do that?
He's doing Urkel.
Yeah, but then he transformed into Stefan Urkel.
How many years ago was Family Matters on?
Wow.
It's timeless. It's like
timeless.
It's like All in the Family.
That's a reference worthy of Bean, was that Urkel impression. Then you got a guy who shows up with a block of ice and a sledgehammer.
What?
You know why, Kevin?
No.
Because he wanted to break the ice.
Oh my God.
When he met Rachel, that was Brady the model. Then, of course, you got the singer-songwriter. The obligatory annual singer-songwriter has to be in every season. Lee came out with his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Burn through these boys like a match fire through a wick. I know I ain't Bieber, but I am a believer that tonight I may more than do. Would you accept this flower? I wrapped in a tune.
Oh, I love it.
For a little time tonight with you.
I love it.
I'm Lee.
What is she laughing at, first of all?
You can't love that.
You can't love it.
No.
But country music is by far the easiest genre to break into.
That's
which
true.
Which leaves these people, you know, Burt Reynolds did a country album. Terry Bradshaw did a country album.
Hey, Ralph has said that for years.
But yeah, she was incredibly kind to every single person that got out of the limo. Like half of those people, she should have said, you go get back in that limo and keep driving.
And this Lee guy apparently is the ball buster of the season. Like
he's the bad guy. He's the crazy manipulator. You have to have one that gets everybody else all upset and angry and doing their curls and dips in the morning.
That's right. He's the villain of the piece. And they got down to the rose ceremony when she was letting eight guys go. And there was one rose left. And everybody knew who wasn't going to get it. They didn't know who was going to get it, but they knew who wasn't going to get it. It was the unbearable Waboom. No one saw Waboom getting a rose. They figured he was the comic relief. He for sure is going home.
He has a T-shirt with his face on it saying Waboom.
Oh, he's got a hashtag Waboom T-shirt on his catchphrase.
Oh, dear Lord.
Sleeveless T-shirt under his blazer that he's wearing. He's just all about trying to brand Waboom.
Right.
Everybody knew at least, no matter what happened, he was not going to get a rose.
Waboom ain't getting a rose, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, there's a lot of fly dudes here, but yeah, Waboom ain't getting a rose.
Lucas.
All right, then.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love you.
Lucas Waboom. Lucas Waboom got a rose.
Come
last
on.
Night, much to everyone's chagrin.
Oh, now, come on. That was a wonderful moment. It was a romantic, wonderful moment for everybody involved.
P, you understand the ladies. What's going through Rachel's mind when she says yes to Waboom on night one?
The producer says you have to keep one of the weirdos.
Okay. They said you can have 24 for you, one for us, is what they said, basically. And the last part of the evening I thought was most entertaining. It's the best when the guys get together and freestyle rap, I think, on
that
this show.
That is the best, always.
It's always the highlight.
Sure.
And last night was no exception. Here's three of the boys hanging out together, doing a little freestyle rap in Rachel's honor.
Listen, I'm on Redville and Vodka. We all agree I got the blessed clothes. I say three more hours, I'm gonna get the first impression rose.
Ooh. Hey, get it, there we go.
So hey, been hearing some pretty good beats. Can somebody tell me again how badass are these shoots on my feet?
Ooh! Okay, go ahead.
Freestyle Friday, I'm about to get it. I'm talking like I'm about to.
Oh,
I'm sitting on a toilet. Watch me. I'm on this like it's.
What the? Oh my. What the?
Mm. Damn.
All right.
Yeah, everybody was. They kind of killed the room when they started talking about being on the toilet. Yeah. What was going to happen? What was going to come out of him?
Let me ask that you guy both. Spits hot fire.
Let me ask you both the same question. Are the guys so much more annoying than the girls?
You probably think that.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's whatever prism you're looking through, whatever gender you happen to be.
So they're both equally. It's just I'm a guy, so I find them annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing worse than a group full of one gender in a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bound to bring out the worst in everyone. And the worst rhymes.
Was everybody there for the right reasons?
Not Waboom, and he got a rose.
He said he loved her. You heard him.
Stop it, Pete.
I have a question, having not seen the show, only just heard that rapping. They only let the white guys rap, right?
Oh, no. That was two brothers and a white guy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they got some real stiff dudes.
All right.
Don't get us wrong. Next week we start the games begin, the dates begin, and that's when true love starts to bloom.
If I'm not mistaken, it's on Sunday night. And Monday night next week,
well,
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just take it and listen to P.
He's already out. Waboom!
And now, a moment with Bean.
All the super ladies, all the super ladies.
Hey, go see Wonder Woman, everybody. Thanks to everybody for playing the game. All the single superheroes.
Holy crap. Oh, my God.
Or whatever it's called.
You want to take another run at that?
I do not.
That was a moment with Bean.
I hadn't heard it in 4 seconds, yeah. Though. So
in your defense, it wasn't played every 8 seconds.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Hey, guys, it's 7:51 on the Kevin Beecher Tuesday morning. Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. And then the host of The Daily Show, maybe the most interesting man in the world, Trevor Noah, will be joining us coming up just after 8. What's going on, Ralph?
This Bill Cosby trial. What's going to happen here?
Hmm.
What do you mean? I mean, evidence will be presented.
Right. Well, I know how the courts work.
Okay, what's your question?
Just
then?
Saying, it's even beyond, in my opinion, what the O.J. Simpson trial was in terms of a defendant being so widely known.
Yeah,
that who could you impanel? How do you get a juror?
Impanel. That's
impanel
right.
Impanel a jury. Who could you impanel that wouldn't have an opinion about him one way or the other. How do you find an impartial jury when you're dealing with a star the size and caliber of Bill Cosby?
I feel like there are people out there who could say, yes, I've heard the information. Yes, I have an opinion. But I'm capable of listening to what is said in court and judging right. the case based on the evidence.
I think so, too. I've heard the accusation.
Are those people lying, though?
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm saying.
Maybe they want to write a book.
Here's the thing. They don't want jurors to come in who have heard the information but are open. They want jurors to come in who have no idea what's going on and be presented the information and the facts by both sides in a way that is condoned by the court.
Right. I don't think you could find those people.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Lock him up.
No, I
Lock
think you're missing my
up.
Point.
No?
Anyway, they did Sorry. Find three men and two women chosen yesterday for the jury selection in the Bill Cosby sexual assault trial. Jurors are being selected in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. About 300 miles away from the trial will be held just outside Philadelphia. And they're going to be sequestered for the duration, by the way, of that trial.
Oh, that's the worst.
That could be a very long time.
Yes.
I mean, you know me. No one loves juries more than I do, but...
How could you not love that? Besides not being able to look at the internet.
That's why he can't do it,
that's
Allie.
Why. That's his whole life.
Bean would wither, literally wither up and die.
I mean,
but so many naps.
And books, too. I would love that. I'd love the I'd read two or three books a day if I was sequestered.
Oh,
but
it'd be such a party.
Books.
I would love that.
Oh, so many books.
But
it's more exciting than books.
I wouldn't like being out of touch because I do like to stay current. I would hate that.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know.
They had 100 potential jurors yesterday. 86 of them said they were familiar with him and the case. 34 of them said they'd already formed an opinion as to his guilt or innocence.
Okay.
And so they only found 5 so far that they're going to put on the panel. And so far they're all white. Does that matter?
Does that shock you?
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think if I was a defense team, I would probably want to get some black people in the jury.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is very complicated.
It is. That's why I asked what's up with it.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think I would want some black people on the jury, too. But you could also argue that Bill Cosby is a superstar for every person.
Yes. I mean, he's certainly not.
He transcends race.
He's as beloved was as beloved by a white audience as he was black. Mm-hmm. How harshly do you judge bad taste when it comes to comedy and jokes about this case, by the way? A restaurant in Washington, D.C. called Diet Starts Monday, which is a great name for a restaurant, by the
that
way.
That is a great name.
Got in trouble yesterday when they added a new cocktail to their menu. It is a hibiscus-flavored cocktail that is garnished with empty pill capsules, like medicated capsules.
Yeah.
And the drink is called the Pill Cosby.
Yeah!
Creative
do
name,
the kids love that?
Creative name, I would not do it.
Yeah, I don't think the kids are cheering for rape culture, Bean.
No, I think they're cheering for the pun. I think the kids love puns.
It's a horrible pun. And the D-bags that did it said, oh, we're trying to raise awareness.
Did they say that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're awful. And then they started liking comments of people that were like, why are people so offended? This is great. They're D-bags of the worst sort. Go away.
Would you like one of those drinks?
I'd like to taste it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hibiscus-flavored cocktail sounds pretty good. They have pulled the drink from their menu, and they have tweeted an apology. Whether it's sincere or not remains to be seen. But, and we've got a name now for this universe that Universal Studios is creating around the relaunch of some of their iconic characters.
Okay.
You know, we've got The Mummy coming out in June with Tom Cruise and Sofia Boutella.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beginning of what they want to create, more like the Marvel Universe. They want to create this Universal Monster Universe. They're going to reboot all their classic monster characters.
Right.
They're calling it Universal's Dark Universe. The Dark Universe.
Like the Dark Web?
Yeah.
Is that what they're...
Dark Universe. Hmm. And they've named... they've got the Jekyll and Hyde movie coming out with Russell Crowe. He was appearing in the Mummy movie, so that's already the first crossover.
Okay. Right.
And now they're announcing The Bride of Frankenstein, which has been scheduled for release on Valentine's Day of 2019. Angela Jolie in talks to play the Bride of Frankenstein.
Here's the thing.
Don't we
do
the Frankenstein
first,
by the way?
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Before the bride comes along, there is talk about Javier Bardem playing Frankenstein in an upcoming film.
Go on.
And Johnny Depp has already been tapped to play the Invisible Man. So they're putting their...
Or is he?
Will he still have scarves, though? Will you see those?
Just the scarves. The scarves will be floating down down the hallway. So they're putting their Dark Universe plan into effect.
You know, I love the Universal Monster movies.
Yeah.
The originals.
Right.
I think I'm intrigued by this. I'm so happy they're trying this.
You won't go to see any of them.
No, God.
I don't know. I might.
Oh, stop it.
Bride of Frankenstein, by the way. Kevin, did you ever see the original?
What a
effing great movie that
I don't
was.
Think I did, no.
It's black and white, Bean. You think he's seen it?
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. It's not one explosion in it, by the way. Today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Carey is 59 years old today. Melissa McBride turns 52. H. John Benjamin is 51 years old. And singer Jewel celebrates her 43rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not kidding when I tell you. Do not switch the station, because Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show, is coming in. He has written a book that's out now about his childhood in South Africa. And this guy has the craziest stories. Not only was he so poor that he had to eat only caterpillars one time. And I'm not even kidding. But he, and Kevin, you guys are going to bond forever. He accidentally burned down a white family's house.
I mean, who hasn't?
I mean, right?
We've all done that.
Look, so payback's a bitch, white people.
We'll find out all about that. Our guest is Trevor Noah. He joins us next, right after this on K-Rock. This could be fun, you guys. I'm so excited. Our next guest, as the host of The Daily Show, is enjoying more than a million viewers a night right now. Weeknights at 11 on Comedy Central. He has also written a fascinating new book that is a bestseller called Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. Trevor Noah steps into the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Trevor?
Thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure. It's great to talk to you. I was just telling Allie off the air before you walked in, I have rarely enjoyed a book as much as I enjoyed your book when I read
it. Thank you very much.
I mean, I was so surprised because I thought it was going to be about your life, including getting into comedy, getting into television, hosting shows, moving to America, doing the Daily. None of that is in the book.
Yes. Yeah.
So did you get to the end and go, come on?
I was riveted by every minute of reading about your crazy, crazy. People see you on TV and they go, well, there's just another journalist in a suit reading the news. They have no idea where you came from or what you've done.
You know what? That was part of the reason I wrote the book, because I realized, in essence, people have no clue about my story, and I always think comedy is about context. Mm-hmm. You know, so with my audiences that I've grown with, people sort of have an idea of who I am. But for a lot of people, they just saw this random guy pop up on The Daily Show. People were like, who is this person? Why would Jon Stewart choose them? And how does this person live their life? How did they come to be here? And so I realized I need like a crash course on who I am to get me to know the audience and for the audience to know me. And so I that's why I wrote the book. I was like, well, here's an introduction to who I am. It's like an origin story.
Yes.
You understand how this person came to be who they are.
How did Bill Gates end up reviewing your book recently for Time Magazine?
I have no clue.
What?
But there's no...
You have no clue.
I have no clue. How do you get Bill Gates to do anything?
Well,
I don't know.
No, we were asking you.
No, but I don't know.
Well, did you see it when someone tweeted
it
out?
Yeah, the people just said, hey, Bill Gates reviewed your book. And I was like, but which Bill Gates? Which Bill... Because that's the first thing I go, like, maybe there's a Bill Gates book reviewer guy.
Right, at the time.
You don't know. Sure. And then I was like, no, the Bill Gates. And then my life, I flashed back to playing games on DOS, on Microsoft DOS, and then going to 3.1 and Millennium. Like, as a little child, if I could go back in time and say to myself, when I'm busy clicking, playing, like, Minesweeper, and go, like, you know the guy who made this? He's going to read your book one day.
And review it.
I would love it. No, honestly, that was, I mean, I don't know how that happened.
Have
I
you
don't
met him, Trevor?
No, I haven't.
Okay, when you do, you have to tell the story in the book about how slow it was to close down Windows 95 and tell the audience what that meant, happening because of that.
Oh, man. So basically, at one point, I was a DJ, you know, at parties. And so what set me apart was I was one of the first DJs who was using a computer. Right?
Okay.
And this is back when it was, you know, like you could use your MP3s. And this was long before Serato Scratch and all of these, you know, programs came out. And so I had my programs, I had the computer. And one day I was throwing a street party with my friends, which was illegal. You didn't get permits. You didn't do anything. We just set it up. The police came and they were like, hey, we need to shut this down. And so we're like, okay, we're going to shut it down. The police were really rowdy. And this one cop, he's got a giant gun, you know, a huge rifle. And then he's like, shut it down. Shut the music down, you bastard. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm shutting it down. And so you start shutting it down. And if you remember old Windows, it took forever to shut it down.
And but now stalling.
The guy is just like, yo, why aren't you shutting it down? Then I'm like, I'm shutting it down. I have to close my programs first. Otherwise, my hard drive's going to crash. You're going to make me lose all my information. Then I'm going to have to boot into safe mode. Please don't stress. And then the guy just lost it. And then he just shut the computer. So, but this was like common. Like, I mean, you guys get stressed about this. Like back home, this was like a normal thing.
That was normal. You're like,
well, it's not them shooting computers, but it's like, yeah, policemen would shoot at a party. It's like, whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, tear gas and someone shooting at a party. That's like, that's when you go like, all right, the party's over. That's
yeah, how
there's you
know no the there's no viral video and an investigation
exactly.
in South
it's,
Africa
it's
when
like,
that happens.
It's like the lights coming on. That's how you know it's time to go home. So then he shot, but then he shot the monitor, like the, he shot the screen.
Oh,
and
all right.
Because he didn't shoot the tower. He thought the computer was the screen,
of course.
So he shot that. And
so
then
I'm still shutting down.
Yeah, it was still shutting down. And then I just like unplugged everything, and then I lost all my information.
Oh!
And then I couldn't be a DJ anymore. It took me years to amass all the music because I didn't have internet back then. I was like, what am I going to do?
Wow!
So that guy effectively ended my DJ career. Man. I could have been Calvin Harris right now.
No.
So do we owe him a word of thanks? Are you happy with the way it ended up?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I still would rather be Calvin Harris.
Yeah, he does have a pretty good life.
He's got a pretty sweet gig.
He really does, yeah.
This is the voice of Trevor Noah here on the Kevin DeBeach Show for The Daily Show, again talking about his book, Born a Crime. And I teased right before you came in that Kevin is going to love your story about how you accidentally burned out a white folks' family's house. And you still in the book, even though, in my opinion, it was 100% your fault. You still are willing to defend it and say it could have happened to anybody,
well,
not you.
Well, let's go over a few things here, Bean.
I think all right.
In my defense, I feel like you are tainting me like a Bill Cosby jury
oh,
right now.
Wow.
Let's go with this. All first right. of all, first of all. I don't think it's imperative that you say it was a white people house, because then what happens is it makes it sound like it was a hate crime.
Okay.
That
so
has
just
nothing to do with it.
Just
it happened to be a house inhabited by white people.
Okay.
This was a coincidence.
All right.
Secondly, I did not burn it down.
Uh-huh.
The house burned down because of my actions.
There was no
intent.
No, I'm going to say that's the same thing.
There was no,
well,
no,
there's
no.
There's no intent.
There's no intent. I did not burn it down. It burnt down.
Okay.
Because of what I did.
What did you do?
I involved flammable materials with combustible materials,
right. mm-hmm.
and I put it all together. And
so you burned the house down?
No, the house burned down.
I'm hearing you say that.
The house burned down. I would like to excuse this
down.
Juror. Can I excuse this juror? I would like this juror to be excused.
All right, but upon cross-examination, I would like to say, were you in a room that had a mattress on the floor
yes.
and straw around it,
yes.
and you were using a magnifying...
Well, the straw was in the mattress.
Okay.
It was all those old mattresses with the straw inside it.
Okay.
And you're using a magnifying glass yes. to try to burn your initials into furniture.
Yes,
was that what was going on, Mr. Noah? And remember, you are under oath.
This was science. In the name of science.
Ah.
Many things have happened in the name of science uh-huh. that have gone wrong. Right?
Like tagging with a magnifying glass.
I could have invented a new form of... I was testing solar power. That's what I was doing.
Is that right?
At a young age. And look at us today. Are we not going green? Do you not thank me for this?
You're a hero.
Thank you very much.
You know, I burned down a lot of stuff when I was a kid, but at least I'm willing to own it.
I've burned down things that I'm willing to own. In this instance,
okay,
I did not burn it down. It burned down because of me.
Trevor,
there's no difference.
Do you hear you?
There's zero difference.
Let me ask you this: would you say that you grew up in extreme poverty or no?
I don't know. You know what's weird is I always feel like there were people poorer than me in life in different countries and different worlds. But I would agree for some people living in a world where you had no indoor toilet, where you had no running water indoors, where you had to eat caterpillars at some point in your life. I mean, some people would call that extreme poverty. I never like to think of it like that because I go, people around me were doing the same thing. So, mm-hmm.
But aren't they in extreme poverty?
Yeah,
as well,
no, I know. But you know what's weird is perspective. And so I remember the first time I went to Brazil, for instance, and I saw people living in Brazil, and I was like, oh, Lord, this is extreme poverty. I didn't have it this bad. But I guess, relatively speaking, yes, I lived in a place where, you know, but we were all living in extreme poverty. So the one, you know,
it didn't stand out to you. You didn't know any different.
And that's honestly the one upside, which is crazy to say. But because we were going through it together as a community, we didn't feel, you know, you knew that this was life. You knew that you didn't enjoy it, but you didn't think of it particularly as suffering all the time.
Right. Mm.
And so
that makes sense.
And really that's, you know, that's how I saw the world. I didn't think that I was worse off. I just thought this was normal, and then other people had like running water.
Right. So what does that, and I don't know if I can phrase this question properly, Trevor, but what does that do to you today as a man who's wearing nice suits and lives in a nice apartment and travels in nice airplanes? Does it make you feel bad?
Like, no.
You
feel, no. It makes me grateful, you know? I mean, that's something I've always appreciated in life, is knowing that you can come from nothing mm-hmm. and achieve everything. I mean, that's what America was always about for me. You know, it's a country where people, you always heard that story. Everyone who came over here with $20 in their pocket, mm-hmm. everyone. And that story is a universal one of hope and aspiration, regardless of where you're from in the world. To know that you can start from nothing and become something. That's the society we want to live in. Otherwise, you're condemned to being the same class that you are when you're born for the rest of your life. So no, when I think of that, I don't feel bad at all, because I know we went through the most of it. Like you say, I fly in a nice airplane. But I'm the first person from my family to step foot on an airplane, you know?
Right.
You know, I drive a nice car, but I'm the first person in my family to ever be able to buy a new car. So when I look at that, I go, this is my grandmother and grandfather's work. This is my mother and father's work. This is everyone in my family's work has now culminated in my generation being able to have a little bit more. I would feel bad if I didn't give back. That's when I would feel bad. So if I went, I do this, and I don't care about people that are in the position that I was in, then I would feel bad.
Hey, everybody, look at my car. You wouldn't make that call?
Exactly. That's not, like, can I tell you what I do? And this was actually, it was Jerry Seinfeld who, like, reinforced that in me. He said to me, you must buy the best car that you can buy and enjoy it. And he said, and you must be the nicest person in the nicest car. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, everyone thinks when you're driving around in a fancy car, the guy in the car is going to be a dick.
Yeah, you're a D-bag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, smile and wave at people. And if kids want to take pictures, let them come in, take pictures. You know, if people want to. And I was like, that's great. Share it with the people. And then, because people don't expect it. You go like, oh, look at this guy driving a fancy car. And then people are like, oh, I know what kind of person he is.
Right.
And when you're like, yo, come and share it. Come and, you know.
And people don't realize, Trevor, and this is why I'm urging so many people to read the book. They don't realize that you spent 2 years literally living in a garage, an auto mechanic garage.
Yes.
And sleeping in the back of cars and just hoping somebody would bring in a nice car with some leg room so you'd have a comfortable
place
to sleep that night.
Can I tell you, I dreamed...
That's not a lie.
I dreamed of a car breaking down, because then I knew it would end up in the garage that I lived in. I was so happy when... Like, can I tell you, I still love American cars till this day, because they were so oversized.
Yeah.
And I was like, the space that these Americans have in their cars. Because European cars are small.
Right.
Japanese cars are even smaller.
Right, but Americans are fat.
So yeah. Oh, man. American cars, right. With the when they would be like, there's a Chevy coming in. I was like, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm going to sleep.
Is that unbelievable?
I'm going to sleep so good
time,
this week.
Yep. Trevor Noah is here, host of The Daily Show. The book is called Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. Much more with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Keep listening for your chance to win a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets here on The Kevin Bean Show. And coming up, your tickets for the advance screening of Wonder Woman. Hey, is that coming up next, by the way, Kevin?
Let's see.
Yes.
All right. We'll tell you right after we say goodbye to Trevor how to win those tickets for Wonder Woman. Trevor Noah is our guest on The Kevin Bean Show, host of The Daily Show. Do you and your team get together in a prayer circle every day and thank God for Donald Trump, Trevor?
Oh, wow.
It's got to be the best thing that ever happened to The Daily Show,
right? You know what I think it is? I think we are perfectly suited to Donald Trump. You know what? If anything, like sometimes at the show, like, you know, the writers will be like, this is crazy. I can't handle this. It's so much news. And I go, I'm glad, because this is the only news I know how to handle. Because where I come from, our president does the same thing. Like, I promise you now, the parallels between Donald Trump and some African leaders is the craziest thing you've ever come across.
Is that right? The exact same leader.
My president, his family gets rich from the presidency, like all his kids. Donald Trump does the same thing.
Right.
My president came in with, like, you know, corruption scandals and all these, and Donald Trump is starting to do the same thing. Donald Trump fired the head of the FBI. My president just fired the FBI, the entire thing. He was like, why bother with one person? Just get rid of the entire thing. So, I mean, I'm like, oh, man, I'm going through the same thing again. It's just in a different way.
Do you feel American, Trevor? Or do you still feel like a South African
abroad?
No,
you know what I feel? I feel world. I know it's a weird thing to say. Like, I'm a South African in the world. So... This is the best way to put it. So what I enjoy about America is a collection of ideas, right? America is an ideal as a place. And so one thing I've always loved about living in the U.S. is when I lived in Pasadena and now when I live in New York is that everyone still brings a piece of their culture with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, so I've hung out with, you know, people who, like, I've hung out with Mexicans in California and felt completely like I'm in Mexican culture, but American Mexican culture. And it's like America becomes the umbrella of everything. So in New York, it's a classic case. I feel like a New Yorker now. I feel like a New Yorker. If there's someone on the ground, I will step over them and carry on with my day.
Right.
And
when crazy people talk to you, you're good.
Oh, you just carry on walking. Just happens, yeah. I did not know how that was possible, and now I do. Like, New Yorkers, nothing phases a New Yorker.
You also, though, Trevor, have a particular set of skills. You have a chapter in your book called Chameleon, where your entire life, because you are biracial, you have had to fit in with all sorts of different groups.
Right.
So, I mean, you've been doing this since you were old enough to know the world existed, right?
And the languages you speak.
Yeah.
That's how you would fit in with so many people.
You know what I realized, though? It's a fascinating thing that's really simple. If you try to learn another person's language or even their way of speaking, that person opens up to you in a way that you will not understand. It's the most magical thing ever.
Yeah.
So
by trying, you don't even have to.
I promise you now, if you speak to somebody the way they think they sound, they change immediately. They go like, "Oh, we're the same," and then you just notice people open up to you.
I'm going to start leaving out verbs and adjectives and stuff with you.
See, because I have problems with the English language.
Right.
So.
There you go. How many languages can you get by with, Trevor?
Let me think. I can get by with five or six, but I lose them if I'm not in the country long enough. Like, my German has become so rusty now.
Same.
You know? All my African languages I have just stored, and then my friends always mock me when I go home because they go like, "Oh, you've lost everything." And then I spend a week in like intensive boot camp, you know, language boot camp. I speak no English for a week, and then I'm back in the game.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then, yeah, you remember your languages. You know?
Is there a Hollywood South African contingent where you and Charlotte Copley and Charlize Theron, you guys all get together and reminisce?
Oh, that's funny. I wish. I really, really wish. That
in
would
the
be
trunk
fun.
Of a car?
Just hanging out with Charlize Theron. That would be a life.
I was amazed by how different the food was that you grew up with. I mean, we mentioned the caterpillars, and
yes,
that's a real thing. And the caterpillars, you said, were okay except for the poop, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing that you don't like, is when you squeeze them, they have like a little gooey poop that comes out
of them. Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Tell me about
they've got these like prickly little spines when you chew them. It's not fun.
Yeah. No.
Tell me about eating a smiley.
Oh, a smiley. So that's a common delicacy in South Africa. It's the head of a goat, right?
Sorry?
The head of a goat.
The actual head?
Yeah.
You said the head of a goat.
Yeah, it sounded like head
so
of a goat.
So you know goats? The head.
No, sir.
Still not with you?
I mean,
no, sir.
We're hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth, but
the impression, though.
Okay, let's start. So, okay. Meat of goat? Yes.
Uh-huh. Love.
We're in the meat. Ah, okay. Now move up.
Okay.
Neck?
No.
Oh, head. There we go. Yes.
That was a thumbs up, right? The head of the goat was a good thing, right?
The head of a goat was amazing. Like, for instance, the head of a goat was like people would fight to eat that at like a wedding or you know, if there was a celebration, because you have all the different types of meat on it. And the reason we called it a smiley is because as you would eat it, the face of the goat would start to smile at you. Like a skull,
so
like
terrible.
On the side.
That's
it's
so
smiling.
Terrible. It's not smiling.
It's happy. You're eating its
not
face,
happy.
It's smiling.
It's not, though.
What's really cool. And you eat the different parts. You eat the cheek, and you eat the lips. And then there was like, there's all this like superstition around it. So they go, the lips will help you become well-spoken. The cheeks will make you. The cheeks will make you brave. The eyes will help you see things. Oh. The brain will give you knowledge.
Okay, that's just nonsense.
I don't need help with this, so what are the nose too?
Eat less nose?
I eat less nose.
How is it presented, the head of the goat? Is it presented as...
Oh, well, they cut it in half.
Okay.
Yeah, they split it in half. So down the middle of the
this is happening right
the
now.
The head of the goat.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. And then you lay it flat. And then you eat the goat's head.
Is it barbecued or is it like boiled?
You can have it any way. You can have it curried. You can have it boiled.
What about a jerk goat?
You can have it. I've never thought of jerk goat.
Well, now you have.
You know what? That sounds good. But jerk's not South African spice, but maybe we should add that. I like
there you
that.
Go.
Okay.
Jerk goat.
Trevor has to leave, you guys. And I know that makes us all very sad. Born a crime.
I'm going to bring you guys to a goat's head next
time.
I'm going to find
not.
A way to do it.
Please
look,
do not.
We'd love to have you back, but I don't think we
want
to
eat goat head.
I'd try goat head, wouldn't you?
I mean, I'd rather not. Do I have a choice? If I have a choice, I'm saying no.
Okay.
But if you'll bring back a goat's head, that means you'll come back. Then I'll,
yes,
and I'll eat it.
I will be back with goat's head and caterpillars for you guys to enjoy.
I don't want the caterpillars, though, because poop.
Now, you, see, you see how nice the goat head sounds now?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Let me just put in another plug for the book, because I've rarely enjoyed an autobiography as much as I did yours, Trevor. And you're a wonderful writer, and your story is really amazing. We didn't even get to talk about the demon that pooped in your house. We didn't get to talk about that. We didn't get to talk about the fascinating chapter called Go Hitler. Believe it or not, that's a chapter. It's available wherever you get books, called Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. And don't miss Trevor Noah as the host of The Daily Show, weeknights at 11 on Comedy Central. I assume you come back next week, right?
Oh, Noah? Yes. I will be back. I'm currently in Israel. And then after that, I'm going to the Vatican.
And then I will be coming back home from the best trip ever. The best. All right. Greatest ever. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Bean.
Thank you, Trevor.
Best rock.
All right. We're going to give away some tickets for Wonder Woman. So if you want to call, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We're going to play a game next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
All the super ladies, all the super ladies.
Hey, go see Wonder Woman, everybody. Thanks to everybody for playing the game. All the single superheroes.
Nope. Holy crap. Yes! Oh, my God.
Or whatever it's called.
You want to take another run at that?
I do not.
That was a moment with Bean.
That was yesterday, trying to give away the Wonder Woman.
All the super ladies, all the super
ladies. We're not doing that today.
How many times did I play that?
100 times.
At least.
A lot.
All the single superheroes.
Guys, I'm a sieve head. Listen, Wonder Woman is the thing, you guys. Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, and more. It's opening in theaters everywhere on June 2nd, but we have tickets you can see at KROQ Advanced Screening at the Arclight on May 31st. Ralph, what's this game called, please?
This game is called Wonder Villains.
Wonder Villains. Wonder, wonder, villains, villains, wonder, villains, wonder, villains, wonder, villains, wonder, villains,
what the hell's going on?
That's what you got to know. If you want to see Wonder Woman and her lasso, Wonder Villains, all you gotta do is know their name. You will see Wonder Woman's invisible plane. Wonder Villains.
Okay. Omar's gone bye-bye.
Why is there death metal Wonder Woman theme?
I don't know. I don't know. All right, so
Here's the thing about Wonder Woman. Hard to believe. One of the most famous superheroes in the world, woefully underrepresented when it comes to the world of television and cinema.
Yeah,
only one really TV show with Linda Carter way back in the 70s. This is her first major motion picture ever. Even not really her own cartoon series.
Why?
Really underappreciated, underexploited when it comes to other genres.
Why do you think?
I don't know. I really don't. I can't imagine why there hasn't been a Wonder Woman cartoon, why there hasn't been a Wonder Woman series of movies. We're finally getting her on the big screen. And because a lot of people don't know Wonder Woman, they don't know necessarily her villains.
Wonder Villains!
She's got a whole collection of villains that she has to face on a regular basis. So we thought we'd throw some love their way and talk about Wonder Woman's super villains.
Wonder Villains!
I will ask you a trivia question, and you need to identify which villain I'm talking about.
All right, we're going to start with Mark in Bell Gardens. Hi, Mark.
Yo, out.
Hey, Mark, do you know much about Wonder Woman?
I know a fair bit.
All right, let's try. This villain is the head of a vast global criminal and terrorist group. She was a beautiful and elegant woman, but her face was disfigured in an accident, and she donned a gold mask and a technologically advanced full-body exoskeleton. Who is she?
Is that Dr. Cyber?
Dr. Cyber! Wonder right.
Villains!
Nicely done.
Well done, Mark. Dr. Cyber!
All right, let's go to Alex and Torrance.
Dr. Cyber.
Hi, Alex.
Hey,
Alex. Here's your question. This supervillain is based on the Greek mythological god of war of the same name and will be in the Wonder Woman movie.
That's Ares.
Ares.
Wonder Villains!
Two for two!
Give it away five pair, too, so these people are automatically winning. They're not qualified.
People.
Yep. Kevin in Norwalk. Hi.
So excited.
Morning, pardon people.
I'm sporting a little chubby.
Take it easy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But now we have a contestant named Kevin, so what are you guys expecting?
Oh, come on. I have faith in Kevin.
Are there a lot of winners named Kevin, really?
I have faith in Kevin.
Okay. He's right, though.
Kevin, here's your question. This longtime enemy of Wonder Woman is actually a mutated ape who possesses the superhuman ability to increase her physical size and mass?
Giganta?
Giganta! Whoa.
What's your real name?
How about that?
Boom.
What's your real name?
3 for 3, guys.
Let's go to Liz in Van Nuys. Hi, Liz.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Liz. You know much about Wonder Woman?
I hope so.
I do, too. I do, too. Here you go. This villain possesses the superhuman strength and speed of the jungle cat she's named after, the fastest land animal.
The cheetah.
Cheetah. Absolutely. Wonder correct. Villains.
You got it.
Wow, these people know they're Wonder Villains.
Nicely done.
Wonder Villains.
All right. Robert in Valencia. Hi.
Hello.
Robert. This terrifying and aptly named little person possesses a command over the occult and has the power to control his victims' minds.
Chip.
It's not Chip.
Oh.
Which villain are we talking about?
Dr. Poison?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Very close.
Dr. Psycho. Dr. Psycho. Sorry. I always thought Brad Williams should play Dr. Psycho.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Ginny in El Segundo.
I'm guessing it's Ginny.
I'm
going to
say Ginny.
No, I'm guessing it's Ginny.
I'm just going to put it out there and say Ginny.
Is it Ginny?
No, it's Ginny.
Yeah, yeah, it's Ginny. Of course it is.
Of course it is. Don't be ridiculous, Pete.
Here's your question, Ginny. This major adversary of Wonder Woman is a wicked sorceress and is based upon the Greek mythological figure of the same name who imprisoned Odysseus in Homer's Odyssey.
Circe.
Circe is correct.
Wow. Wonder Villains.
Wow, these people were good. We didn't even get to Egg Foo, my favorite.
Egg Foo,
the giant egg who uses his mustache as a whip. That's my favorite Wonder Woman villain.
That's all I care about
egg
now.
Egg Foo is the best.
Thanks for playing the game, everybody.
Wonder Villains. Nice.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
I'm looking at what's coming up just after 9 a.m., and it's called Mr. Bad Example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is...
There's a person on the show that gives bad examples.
Yeah, somebody's awful at giving examples of things.
One of us on the program.
Just one of us.
Yeah. I don't know anything about this. I guess I'll look forward to it.
You're gonna love it.
Make fun of Ralph or Allie or whoever it turns out to be.
You'll love it.
It's 8:52. As we mentioned, it is Tuesday morning. Ralph is here. It's time for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I remember it as if it was yesterday. I was in Wildwood, New Jersey, and I was on the boardwalk. And they had the big theater, the big Hunts Theater there on the boardwalk in New Jersey. And it was summertime. We were down there for vacation with my family. And my dad took me into the theater to see my first James Bond movie in a movie theater. I'd seen him on television, but I'd never seen a James Bond movie on the big screen. And it was a little movie called Live and Let Die, starring a brand new James Bond named Roger Moore. And now Roger Moore is gone, passed away at the age of 89. Sad news. For a lot of us, he was James Bond. He was also the Saint. He was cool, always, and made everything look easy up on the big screen and the small screen. He was also a really very active philanthropist and did a ton of work with UNICEF and on behalf of other charities around the globe. And he passed away in Switzerland after a battle with cancer. So, sad news.
Didn't he do more Bond movies than any other actor?
I believe he and Sean Connery tied.
Okay.
In the same year they did Octopussy, which was his last one. Connery came back and did Never Say Never Again. And I think they were both tied at, seven or something.
Quite a legacy.
Yeah. He was a great Bond. And, he got saddled with some awful scripts, too. That poor
bastard.
Really? Yeah, some of those
bombs. He got to go in space.
Were hard to watch. Oh, that Octopussy. They made him a clown. They actually had him dressed up as a clown.
Really?
Yeah, it was sad.
You think he was thinking, hey, this is James Bond.
I'm supposed
to be cool.
Why do I have giant clown shoes on and makeup on my face? This is embarrassing. Not to be the bearer of bad news for the entirety of this Showbiz Beat, but also we have to mention this accident that happened in Manchester, UK, there outside the Ariana Grande concert last night. Around 10:35, a suicide bomber, who now ISIS is taking credit for, set up 2 explosions outside the arena as the concert was letting out right near the train station there. 22 people were killed, 59 people wounded, many of them young girls who were there for the concert. Terrific, a nightmare for the people there in Manchester. And James Corden, last night on his show, really had some nice words to say, and I thought we'd play it for you here.
It shocks me every time we hear this sort of news that attacks like this can happen, but especially when there will be so many children at this concert tonight. When I think of Manchester, the place that I know, I think of the spirit of the people there. And I'm telling you, a more tight-knit group of people you will be hard-pressed to find. Strong, proud, caring people with community at its core. And if it was even possible, the spirit of the people of Manchester will grow even stronger this evening. My thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Manchester tonight. All of the staff at the MEN Arena, all of the security teams, all of the emergency services, Ariana and her team, and all of those families affected by tonight. We'll all go to bed holding our little ones even tighter this evening.
Wow. Well done, James.
Very, very emotional for him, especially, you know, being British.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about something goofy. Let's talk about Gwyneth Paltrow. You'll be happy to know that she is having a Goop Wellness Conference here in Los Angeles this June.
That's so exciting. Can we get tickets?
Oh, can you? If you'd like to attend the first ever Goop Wellness Summit on June 10th, let me tell you what your options are, Kevin, for tickets. First of all, let me know, let you know, the panels that they're going to have there, not only Gwyneth will be on a panel, but Lena Dunham will be there to tell you about some wellness. Nicole Richie will be there. All the best people will be there.
Did you say Nicole Richie?
You heard me.
Well, when I think about health and wellness,
right?
I think about Lena Dunham and Nicole Richie.
They're both a picture of health and wellness. Here are your options for tickets.
I assume they're pretty cheap.
They are. Absolutely.
Very reasonable.
The low, low price, the basic, the bottom tier ticket, the lapis ticket, as it's known, is can be yours for just $500. Just $500.
$500.
No, you said the cheapest.
Yeah, right.
To attend
the lapis $500 ticket.
But that's like airfare and hotel.
No, that's just to get in. That's just to get you in to the conference. But you get access to every panel. You can watch every panel.
No.
You can get some crystal therapy, and you can get your aura photographed.
Well, I've done that.
For that. What? I'm sorry, what happened now?
You heard me.
What? Have you done that?
Yeah, you take the picture, and then whatever color is around you.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Let me make a note.
It's good time.
Why are you awful?
Why am I the best?
No, you misheard me.
No, I didn't.
You had your aura photographed?
I think we all have.
No,
I mean, no.
Not the people who aren't nuts haven't.
Zero people have.
You get some clean food and drinks, like moon juice. You get some moon juice.
It's clean food, is it, Ralph? Yeah. It's got to be very expensive to get that juice back from the moon.
No wonder it's so expensive, right?
All right, that's the $500 ticket.
Okay.
Now, the next tier, of course, is the Amethyst ticket, which is the low, low price of $1,000. Now, for $1,000, you get everything you get with the Lapis ticket, plus you get to attend a cocktail reception with Gwyneth herself. Oh, can I get a vodka and moon juice, please? You get the foam roller workout with Lauren Roxburgh.
Oh, he or she is great,
You get a foam roller
in the business.
You get a little mini version of the class led by founder of the class, Taryn Toomey.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you can get the clear quartz ticket for $1,500.
$1,500.
This is everything from the Lapis and Amethyst group. Plus, you get a private morning sound meditation class with Sarah Auster. You get Gwyneth's breakfast choice. She'll choose what your breakfast is going to be.
Can I pick?
Nope. You get lunch with Gwyneth. You get some Toomey luggage. And you get a 3 months of early access to the new Goop releases. Wow. Plus, wait for it, valet parking. They throw in the valet parking for the $1,500 ticket.
Oh, you.
Wait, so I'm so sorry. The $1,500 clear quartz package is already sold out.
What?
You stop it.
Are you kidding?
I'm sorry. You can't. You're gonna have to just go with the lapis or the amethyst.
So I can't get valet parking for my $1,000. Are you kidding?
Who's buying
it? I don't know.
Out of the people who get their auras photographed.
Listen,
those people.
was at a party, and it was good times.
Worst.
When is ScoopCon coming up, Rob?
June 10th, Bean.
Oh, I forget. We've got to get some media credentials for Mugs, don't we?
Agreed.
We got to get him some clean food and drink.
Right.
Get him some moon juice.
Some moon juice.
You should dip him in some moon juice. Hey, speaking of Mugs, he's going to answer the phone because I am going to do a little trivia about one of my favorite TV shows in the world. It's called Animal Kingdom.
Ah, yes.
And it is coming back on TNT. The season 2 premieres May 30th. And the good folks at Animal Kingdom are giving us a $100 American Express gift card to give away to celebrate the return of TNT's drama series Animal Kingdom on May 30th. Here's my trivia question. First of all, you'll happen to know that I'm not alone in my love for Animal Kingdom. You know who else shares it?
Me?
Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm sorry?
Shaquille O'Neal. TMZ saw Shaquille O'Neal the other day, and out of the blue, I'm not kidding you, if you watch the video on TMZ.com, it's hilarious, he just starts talking about Animal Kingdom. No question asked. He talks about how he just saw Ellen Barkin, how much he loves her, and how much he loves Animal Kingdom.
It's a great show. I agree with him.
Here's Shaq.
Listen, I'm in love.
With who?
I saw Ellen Barkin.
Really? You like her?
From my favorite show, Animal Kingdom. And she's hot in real life.
Is that what
Yes.
What
I love Ellen Barkin, I love you. Will you marry me?
What she's is hot. On your DVR? What shows are you obsessed with?
Animal Kingdom. I saw the whole season in Animal Kingdom in one night.
Really?
Started at 10 and finished about 7 a.m.
How are you obsessed with Animal Kingdom? Is it like, what do you love watching? Do you like...
I love... Listen, I've been loving Ellen Barkin since Ocean's 11. She's just so hot.
Yeah. Shaq is a little mistaken there. Ellen Barkin wasn't in Ocean's 11.
Oh.
She'd be great if she was.
It would be great if she was. If you know what movie she was in, what movie is Shaq thinking of when he says Ocean's 11? Why don't you call us now with that answer, 1-800-520-1067. If you know what movie Shaq is thinking of when he says Ocean's 11, he made a mistake there. If you can correct him, I will give you a $100 American Express gift card if you're the first person to call through with the correct answer right now. 1-800-520-1067. You get $100 from TNT and Animal Kingdom.
If you're not caught up, you still have time to catch up on Animal Kingdom.
You have to.
Back. Yeah, it's so great. Good.
It would be a shame. I mean, you should watch season two regardless, but it would be a shame if you didn't see season one because it's so good.
Agreed.
Such an amazing series. Today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Carey is 59 years old today. Actress Melissa McBride turns 52.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Yeah. That's for Allie.
Thank you.
Allie this morning when...
Nope.
When
you
I mentioned
missed it.
Melissa,
you got to wake up earlier.
Melissa McBride. People. Allie lit up and said, oh my God, I love her so much.
I really do.
And we all kind of looked at her and said, well, it's kind of crazy that somebody would feel that way about Melissa McBride.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. Great actress. Very talented.
I love her so much.
But she doesn't engender usually that kind of passion in people.
Right.
You know who she's not?
No. Who is she not?
She's not Melissa McCarthy.
That's right. That's who Allie thought.
They're very different.
But in your defense, Allie, she is half pint on Little House on the Prairie, which you love.
That's true.
No, that would be Melissa Sue Anderson.
Melissa Gilbert?
Melissa Gilbert. Who was her sister on that show?
Mary?
Right. Who played her?
Pamela Sue Anderson.
No, I think it was Melissa Sue Anderson.
Pamela Sue.
What's happening right now?
It sounds right.
We can edit this part out, right?
Yes, we should.
No, Pamela Sue Martin was Nancy Drew. That's who you're thinking of.
Hold on. Right. Is there a Melissa Sue Anderson?
I mean, honestly, this is off on a weird tangent.
Thank you, and good night, everyone. H. John Benjamin is 51 and Jewel is 43. We haven't answered my trivia question?
Yes, we do.
Mike from Santa Ana. What movie was Shaq thinking about starring Ellen Barkin?
Ocean's 13.
Ocean's 13. That's the one she was in.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
We're going to give you a $100 American Express gift card thanks to our friends at TNT and Animal Kingdom. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA knows he's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let the man talk. The man is talking. Let the man talk. All right, now he's done. Go ahead.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:26.
Hey, congratulations to Andrew Rahal, I want to say, from Redondo Beach. You have just won a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. And don't forget, this is a huge weekend, Memorial Day weekend this weekend. And our own Cat Corbett is going to be broadcasting live Friday from Disneyland. Saturday, by the way, is when the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout opens up at Disney's California Adventure Park. So we've got tickets all week long that you can win on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock as well. Very excited to see Clint Eastwood back in the news. He's one of my all-time favorite directors. Man, does that guy know how to make a movie, right?
Sure does, yeah.
He had that that string a few years ago with Mystic River and with Million Dollar Baby, and then he did those World War II movies. Remember, then he did Gran Torino after that.
Mm-hmm. That was great, yeah.
He directed Sully last year, which was a terrific movie. He is back in the news because he was speaking at the Cannes Film Festival, which is going on right now, and he's talking about making a return to acting.
Is that right?
He hasn't done as much of that in recent years, but he says he wants to get back to acting.
How old is he?
86
years old. And he also says, and I don't know if this will dovetail with him wanting to return to being in front of the camera, he also says that he thinks that we have gotten way too politically correct, and that's taken a lot of the fun out of the movie. So maybe he's going to try to make something that's a little wacky. But we thought we'd catch up with the Oscar-winning director.
What? Would he make something wacky to not be politically correct?
Who knows what's going on in Clint Eastwood's mind? That's why we're bringing him on the show.
What you think wacky?
Yep.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'm a pretty wacky guy.
Right, Clint? That would be fun. Zag a little bit. Everybody's so serious all the time.
That's right, I'm wacky. Right?
So, well, you tell us. I mean, you didn't give a lot of details during your speech the other night, but you tell us, what do you have in mind?
America's become too goddamn politically correct.
Well, that's very true.
It is. We've lost our sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And we got to start talking about people the way they really are.
Well, I mean,
you get a group of mucklucks moving into your neighborhood. You don't want to have to put up with that.
I don't feel like.
I don't know what a muckluck is.
What that
I'm
is.
I'm going to call them out.
Okay.
What's a muckluck?
They say, listen, you Assapanics, I don't want you anywhere near me. Move into another neighborhood.
Well,
take
the
bastinados with you.
Okay, I don't know who any of these people are, but I think everybody should be able to live everywhere. I don't think you segregate them based on their race or religion.
We got to call it like we see it. Mm-hmm. If you're at work and you got a bummelo working next to you.
What's a bummelo?
You're going to be able to call him a clatter fart without having to go to the HR department.
No one wants to be called a clatter fart, Clint.
You got a fartalek living in your neighborhood.
Fartalek.
You should be able to go up and say, listen, you gull groper. I don't care how much you want to haboob. You and the rest of your hump and scrumps leave this knickerpecker neighborhood.
You've given this a lot of thought, Mr. Eastwood.
I am. So tired of the pack-a-poos coming in here and trying to take all our jobs.
What's a pack-a-poo?
That's why I talk to empty chairs sometimes.
Okay, I see.
Because I get upset when I see the pungas in town.
I don't know what a punga is.
What about the wankapins?
Nope.
Again, no experience with them at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're saying we don't know what it is.
Keep them out, right?
No, we're saying we don't understand who they are.
I'm with you.
We're not saying that.
You wankapins.
That's not what we're saying.
That's another pongapoo. That's a haboob lick-a-locker. Right?
A haboob lick-a-locker?
Yeah, you got that right, lady. I'm wacky.
Yes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36. That means it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on?
Ah, I'm just bummed out.
About
the passing of Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Sir Roger Moore was a legendary actor known to many as James Bond. Also played the Saint. He was suave and cool and had a great sense of humor about himself and about the work that he did. Passed away at the age of 89 yesterday from cancer. So, sad. We've lost our first actor who ever played James Bond.
He was always fun when
Sean Connery won't be far behind.
Yeah, they're getting up there.
Yeah.
He was always so fun when he would show up on a late night show as a guest, too.
Yeah, he's a very charming guy.
For real.
And did a lot of work for charity as well, UNICEF especially, being one of his pet projects. But he helped a lot of kids around the world who were impoverished. So, yeah, it was a life well lived, for sure. It was a brief battle with cancer. Apparently, it was very aggressive. So,
what's the best Roger Moore James Bond movie for someone who wants to check him out if they haven't seen him?
Any of the early ones are good. Live and Let Die, I think, is great. A Man with a Golden Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Spy Who Loved Me.
Ooh, I like that one.
Is a classic. Allie, what was your favorite Roger Moore James Bond movie?
I liked The Man with the Golden Gun. Because that's one that Nick Adler's mom was in, right?
What happened?
I don't know.
Britt Eklund was in that one, correct?
Britt Eklund was in that one, yes.
So that's my favorite.
Oh.
Boom! Suck it! Didn't think I'd pull that, did you?
Have you seen it?
I mean, no.
You said the name of a person that was in it, but that doesn't mean you saw it, right? Because you named a film doesn't mean you saw it.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one when he's like, hey, where's
who's
my...
the villain in that one again? Do you remember the villain?
Golden Tooth.
Nope.
Eye.
Nope.
Brown Eye.
Nope. Certainly not.
That's a terrible villain.
Scaramanga.
Yes.
Sure.
Scaramanga,
yes.
The assassin Scaramanga, yeah. Who is known, Kevin, for having...
bad eyeshadow?
Nope, a third
That's
nipple.
The brown eye?
A third nipple is what we're looking for.
A third nipple.
That was his...
was the answer.
Villain... what?
That's quite a power.
What? That's
it was his
power?
Villain what?
He would,
yes.
Wait,
I didn't say it was a power.
He was stunning people with it.
No, it was his distinguishing feature. You could all, you could,
he
no
would
one
just had, lift up his shirt and people were like paralyzed.
No one knew what Scaramanga looked like, but you could identify him by his superfluous lip nipple. He had a third nipple.
Well, what if you thought it was him, but it just turned out to be Mark Wahlberg?
Okay.
Does he have a third nipple?
He's got a third nipple, yeah, too. It's widely known.
Someone, you're right, someone.
It's widely known.
Listen to him scorning us.
Someone in the spy world might mistake an assassin for Mark Wahlberg. You're
just
right.
Say it. Huh. Allie would know. She didn't see the movie.
Scaramanga.
Scaramanga.
You're just saying words. That's it doesn't mean you saw a movie.
Scaramanga.
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 Scaramanga is what I said first.
And his manservant's name was? Scaramanga's manservant?
His manservant, Toto.
No.
Tattoo.
No. Yeah, well, close.
Tatooine.
Bobo.
No, knick-knack.
What?
Knick-knack.
Knick-knack and then paddywhack.
Sure. Knick-knack was played by...
Tattoo.
Bobo.
Hervé Velasquez,
right,
who played
Tattoo.
Right,
that's exactly what I meant.
Oh. I think we should have Allie Medley.
Agreed.
No,
I do not.
Agreed,
I do not, sir.
How much is Katy Perry getting paid to be a judge on ABC's reboot of American Idol?
If I remember correctly, some of those judges were getting paid $15 to $20 million a season.
You're kidding.
Do remember correctly.
Is it
Kevin?
In that ballpark?
It's outside that ballpark.
Outside, so
it's
probably higher.
It's in the parking
higher.
Lot of that ballpark.
$25
million, Kevin, is correct.
No. Oh, my gosh.
No.
No.
I'd do it for $24.
You would?
Yeah.
Sport.
Save $1 million.
According to TMZ, Katie had all the leverage. ABC had to announce the show, and they didn't have a big name judge to go along with it. So they were pressured to make a deal quickly, and that's what she got, according to sources. Seacrest, by the way, at the end.
Yeah.
You know how much he was making to host?
Oh,
no,
God.
I don't know. This is going to hurt, though.
$15 million a season.
Wow.
For a season.
Wow.
How much was that? 3 months' work? 4 months'
Tops,
work?
Tops, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong business.
But it was two nights a week,
American
though.
Idol business.
It was two nights a week, though, Ralph, remember.
That's true. I don't know what I was thinking. This guy's a douchebag. His name's Stephen Cummings. And he has slapped a lawsuit onto James Cameron.
Because
he claimed that James Cameron ripped off his idea for Titanic.
How?
You heard me.
How do you rip off the idea of filming a movie about a historical event?
He said.
Also, World War II was his.
He swings Spielberg as well for Saving Private Ryan or whatever movie he made about the war.
That's weird.
Mr. Cummings says he had two relatives on the real ship, and it was their story that James Cameron ripped off, and he wants $300 million in damages.
Wow. That's.
You are adorable.
Reasonable.
Stole my story, says Stephen Cummings. As you mentioned, it's going to be hard to prove since 1,517 people passed away on that ship back in 1912. And it's a pretty well-known historical event. So it could be any two people, really, that James Cameron based his story on.
And there have been lots of movies about the Titanic, too.
Right?
All of them stolen from this guy.
Right.
Apparently so.
He gets all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad. We're losing Ray Donovan. Not to
it's
TV.
It's been canceled?
No, not to TV,
heck
but
no.
Los Angeles is losing Ray Donovan. The show will no longer take place in L.A. because Liev Schreiber is moving to New York City and will be filming the show there from now on.
But he's a cleaner. Hollywood elite.
He's a Hollywood cleaner, right? How's
yes.
he gonna, who's, what's he going to clean in New York,
right?
Why not move to Boston if he's going to move somewhere? Move home.
Because Boston sucks.
Right.
Well, but that's where
nuts.
Ray Donovan's from.
I understand that.
Yeah. But in real life, Naomi Watts... Ray, excuse me, Liev Schreiber's partner of 11 years, is living in New York now since they're split. And she's got the two sons there in Tribeca. And he wants to be close to his kids. So they're going to be moving Ray Donovan's production to New York City.
Wow.
He's a big star and the show's a hit, so they'll do whatever he wants.
That's a lot of power to pick up and move 400 people or something like that, right?
Yeah.
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 Just bums me out, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I used to like seeing L.A. on that show. Now I got to see New York. When's that coming back, by the way? I don't think that's for like August or something.
Yeah, end of summer, I feel like.
I can't wait that long. And while we're talking television, this is exciting news. I love that Leah Remini show, Scientology in the Aftermath.
Same. That was crazy.
On A&E. I thought that was terrific. They're putting together a new two-hour standalone special episode of that show on A&E called Merchants of Fear.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
In the two-hour special, which is going to air on Memorial Day, Leah Remini and her co-host Mike Rinder are going to be looking at the relationship between the church and some of its most vocal critics and how they go out of their way to squash them. And apparently production is also underway for a second season of that show. So,
wasn't that Mike Rinder guy, wasn't he the guy that would go after people and squash them?
Yes, he was the head of the Fair Game. Was Fair Game, is that the name of that doctrine in the church?
But he was.
You could do anything to anyone who would stand up against the church, and it was rationalized acceptable. In their mind. Yeah.
It was a by any means necessary situation.
Exactly. So, good stuff. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Carey is 59 years old today. Actress Melissa McBride from Walking Dead is 52. H. John Benjamin, so good as Archer on that television program, he is 51.
He's Bob's Burgers, too, right?
He's also in that, yeah. He's got a recurring role on Family Guy as well. It's all over the place. Singer Jewel is 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Andy Cohen, the host of Watch What Happens Live and The Love Connection. We have William Shatner in the studio.
I will come into your show.
We've got some tickets for Wonder Woman.
I like to ride horses.
And
I like charity. I like to help people by riding horses for charity.
And because it's Wednesday, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah!
Very exciting. All tomorrow morning.